Welcome to the Soul Science Nutrition Podcast, where you'll discover that when it comes to your health, you're so much more powerful than you've been led to believe. And now, your host. She's a holistic nutrition and lifestyle coach, chef, author, and yogi, Christine Okazie.
Hello, and welcome to the Soul Science Nutrition Podcast. I'm Christine Okazie. Thanks so much for listening. What if at the core, the experience of healing is not really about finding a cure, but more about a transformation of our perspective, a shift in the lens through which we view ourselves? What if healing is a path of letting go of everything that is not really our true, authentic self, all of the beliefs, programming, false narratives, and simply finding our way to becoming more of who we have always been? Life gives us plenty of chances to wake up and notice when we're living out of integrity with our core essence. But it takes great courage to pause long enough to listen to the longing in our soul and dig deep enough to find the self-compassion that becomes the inner fuel for making our dreams a reality. Well, my guest today is a beautiful example of someone who took that leap to listen to her inner wisdom to create a congruent life by recognizing that she was really one choice, one reinvention away from the life that she desired and deserved. I spoke with Angel V. Shannon, a personal development keynote speaker, board-certified nurse practitioner, and founder of Seva Health and the Seva Institute. Drawing upon nearly three decades of experience in chronic disease care and personal study of mind-body medicine, Angel takes a uniquely integrative approach to preventative health care. Today, in private practice, she walks between two worlds, the world of conventional medicine and the world of ancient healing. Through courses, coaching, community, and self-compassion practice, Angel teaches others how to break free from burnout, strengthen their confidence, and design the life they really deserve. Using the tools of functional medicine and mindfulness-based practices, Angel's patients uncover root causes for their conditions, develop strategies that change their lives, not just their symptoms. In addition to managing her busy clinical and coaching practice, Angel is the host of Healthy House Calls with Angel, an uplifting podcast filled with tips, tools, and strategies that help others live longer and live better with lifestyle medicine. To learn about Angel, please check out her website, SavaHealthGroup.com, and check out her podcast, SavaHealthGroup.com/podcast. I can't wait for you to listen in on this inspiring conversation, and if you do like it, please, you know, visit Apple Podcasts, drop me a rating and review, and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Thanks so much for being here, everyone, and enjoy the episode.
Hi, Angel. Welcome to the podcast. It's great to meet you.
Thank you so much, Christine. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. I would love to start with your wonderful story of transformation and ultimately what led you to give birth, if I can say, to Seva Health.
Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting. I was just working on my rebranding of my website, and I thought about this, that it's been such an incredible journey. It really, really has been. And I have to say, in a nutshell, it really started with me having to acknowledge that I was dangerously close to burnout. Yeah. I was in a field wanting to do work that I wanted to do it in my way and in a way that I knew would make sense for my patients and for what the true needs, what healthcare really is about. And I knew that what I wanted to do in healthcare just wasn't possible. For me, education and patient empowerment is so important beyond just a brochure. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to help people change their lives, not just their symptoms. And I lead by that statement so much. Healthcare to me really is about changing your life.
Mm, okay.
And all aspects of your life. So I was working in a clinical setting, ICU, trauma, ER, and wanting to stop that vicious cycle of people coming in and going back out, coming back in and going back out with the same problems over and over. And the opportunity to really do that level of education just wasn't there. And I knew that in order to really make an impact in the world, I'd have to go out on my own and design what I knew was possible. And just really brick by brick, you know, what first of all, what do I need for myself? to be able to do this.
Yes. So tell us, what was the hardest part when you hit that realization that you yourself, your health was suffering?
Yeah. Well, you know, the hardest part of it is, like for anyone, where do I start? What do I change first? You know that you need to make a change, but it's how do I make a change? How do I change that gap between, close the gap between knowing and doing? And, you know, we always have this big vision, but it's a question of, you know, I had two young children, so I've got bills to pay. I've got school payments to make. I've got a mortgage to pay. You know, we all got these big dreams, but it's how do I do this and do it in such a way that I'm able to fully manifest this? So for me, the biggest thing was carving out the time first to get clarity on what I needed for myself, clarity on my dream, clarity on, you know, what can I do within this time, this, you know, space of time that I have. And it started out with just, okay, I know I have, you know, this amount of time per week to dedicate toward researching. What would it take to open my own clinic? What would it take to start my own practice? Do I have to go back to school? Do I need more certifications? You know, just moving the ball forward every day by answering important questions about what does it take? What will it take? And, you know, and being honest with myself about, you know, what that journey was going to, what's going to be overnight. I wasn't going to just wake up one day and hang a shingle and say, hey, come right in, you know, be here. So it really took that. And then it took a tremendous amount of sacrifice. You know, I could have worked, you know, full time 5 days a week, or am I going to shave off some of my expenses, cut back and save toward this goal, save toward going back to school, save toward this certification, and just little by little building this brick by brick. And that's really, you know, this practice, this whole business has been built brick by brick. And just moving forward toward that dream.
Thank you. What's your relationship to your career now compared to what it was like back then?
Radical self-compassion. You know, there's a quote from Tara Brach's book Radical Compassion. And she speaks about, you know, the point that she got to where she acknowledges that I have to love my way to healing.
Wow.
And I knew that, you know, the way that I was working was not, you know, loving myself. It was putting so many things before my work, right? So working long hours, working in, you know, terrible conditions, being short-staffed, working through, you know, hurricanes and storms and all this other thing. And, you know, for me, and really just beyond self-care, we talk about self-care and pampering and taking a day off. That's totally different from self-compassion and acknowledging, you know, the need for boundaries. My emotional distance now from my work is significantly more, it's stronger. You know, I'm not identified by work. When I work, I work. And when I'm not working, I'm not working. I take exquisite care of myself these days, more so than, and I'm not talking about pampering. I'm talking about caring for my inner landscape. Significantly more so now than I did when I was working in the trauma center and in the ICU. That was when I needed this level of self-compassion.
So much. Yeah. Before we started this conversation, Angel, now more than ever, it's so clear that the folks who are, you know, on the front lines working in the healthcare field, they're the ones that need this deep level of self-care, deep level of healing and self-regulation when it comes to their jobs, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And you have to be doing that work for yourself. And as I said, you know, a couple of days off for vacation or, you know, hair and nails, all of those things are fine. But what really helps you survive in this industry, in this business, is your own self-compassion, your own nurturing of your inner landscape, your own, you know, we would have horrible nights, you know, gunshot wounded patients and, you know, massive heart attacks and things like this. And we never did debriefing. You know, we never had debriefing. we were on the battlefields, different set of battlefields, but battlefield nonetheless. 100%. And there was never a debriefing, you know, in terms of how do you feel about the fact that you just lost an 18-year-old patient?
Yeah.
How do you feel that you just had a patient who was 9 months pregnant who just lost that baby?
Right.
How do you feel after all night long, you know, putting this person on and off the respirator, and we lost that person? It was just go on into the next shift. And the body has memory. Mm. The body has memory. There's a book called The Body Keeps Score.
Yes.
And when you hold all of that experience, all of those traumatic experiences, night after night, day after day, year after year, you have to do work that helps you process that.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. And so you talk about the doorway of radical self-compassion, inner work. What role did meditation and mindfulness help you live more consciously, help you take such exquisite care of all that you know, wounding that happened to you?
I always say that meditation saved me from a life of rage. And I really do mean that, because there are a lot of things, as a healthcare professional, there are a lot of things to be enraged about. The obvious things of short staffing and not enough equipment and things like this. But there are other things, you know, the expectations from management, insurance, poor access, patients who you know need better access to medications, to services, the disparities, not to mention the disparities amongst the workforce, that as an African-American woman aspiring to, you know, greater leadership in my career, there were those barriers to overcome. As a nurse practitioner, when I started this practice, it was unheard of to be in independent practice. I happened to live in the state of Maryland, where regulation was such that we gained the right to work independently, to practice independent of physicians. That is not the case throughout the United States. There are plenty of states now where nurse practitioners have to work underneath the guidance of a physician. And without getting too deep into that, the point is that there are a lot of things to be enraged about within the profession and then just in life. So meditation helped me drop down into my experience. What am I feeling? And self-compassion practice is really the unification of the mindfulness, the meditation, but also the what do I need in this moment? That's where self-compassion comes in. What do I need in this moment? I need to be acknowledged. I need to feel valued. I need to feel heard. I need to feel that I'm caring for myself. All of those things in self-compassion practice, united with meditation, helped me to get to where I am now, which is acknowledging what my needs are individually and then collectively as a profession, within the profession.
Yes, yes. And when those needs are not acknowledged, or when they're neglected even, that's when we suffer, right? Our behaviors, our habits, our coping mechanisms.
Yes. Right?
We're doing the best that we can, but if we're not clear, as you talk about, on what do I really need in this moment, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That moment-to-moment awareness of where I am in space, and then that moment-to-moment awareness of what you need within that container.
Beautiful.
Of space.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So Save a Health was your vision for how to do what you do and deliver the service that you can in a way that aligns with what really matters to you.
Yes.
Your learned experience, your insights. How did you bridge the conventional approach with this more integrative approach? What was important about that when you were formulating Save a Health?
That's such a great question. You know, I just believe that it is absolutely impossible to provide real care for people when you divvy them up into parts. You can't talk about anything that is clinical without talking, you know, medical, without talking about the psychological component.
Yes.
If we're talking about, you know, someone's blood pressure, how do you possibly have that conversation without understanding what role stress has in their life? I mean, if we know from the research that stress has a major role in blood pressure management, that someone can be very hypersensitive to emotional stress, which that is the component of their you know, hypertension, and not necessarily diet or weight or whatever.
Yeah.
Then that's the elephant in the room. You have to talk about that.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're racing to your job, fighting stress to get there, traffic, all this other thing, then we have to talk about that. And so for me, it's impossible to really treat people, you know, without looking at the whole person.
Yeah.
And so for me, it is really a whole person approach to healthcare that makes sense, because without it, we're just throwing pills to a problem, and you're never going to make progress that way. And it was frustrating for me, because when I worked in, you know, after I'd finished nurse practitioner program, my graduate school, was working in a couple of different clinical settings. It was the same thing. It was the 15-minute appointment. They come in, blood pressure's elevated, here's a pill. And I knew from my days in ICU and trauma that they were going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to be back. It wasn't going to work, because pills are only going to take you so far, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was about, if I really want to see this person be healed of this condition or get this condition under control, we have to talk about this elephant in the room. And the more I leaned into it, the more my patients leaned into it. Wow, you're the first person that ever asked me such and such. You know, you're so depressed. This person's so depressed. I'm not a psychologist. I don't need to be a psychologist in order to ask someone, what is making you feel so sad?
Yes.
What's making you, have you ever thought about therapy? Mm. And let me debunk the myths that you have about therapy.
Mm. Wow.
And patients appreciated that. I mean, deeply, deeply appreciated that.
Yeah.
And it was bi-directional, because my patients always taught me something too.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. It's a beautiful relationship, and it can be such a key part of the healing, you know, a journey for patients, is the role and the trust, you know, feeling seen by their practitioner. I mean, you put the humanity back in medicine.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's what I would want for myself.
And your family and anybody that you cared about. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I mean, and you know, we're living in the best of days and the worst of days at the same time. You know, there's so many things going on in the world right now, but one of the best things is, you know, people can access all of the other information. You can easily Google DASH diet and learn everything you need to know about lowering your blood pressure with nutrition and all this other thing.
Mm.
But what will never be Googleable, if I can use that term, is that human element, that human connection. That's what we crave. That's what we are craving now, is that human, you know, touch my humanity, understand what I am experiencing. And that too is what meditation helps with, is really touching the humanity and seeing yourself in every single person that you encounter.
Mm, 100%. You know, that moving from the me to the we.
Yes.
You know, it's ancient wisdom, but it's such practical, sensible, you know, way that we thrive, you know, and we're meant to live. But now you talk about in your work the origins of how you kind of made this beautiful circle back to Save a Health.
Mm-hmm.
It really wasn't just out of the blue.
Right.
There were such important seeds that were planted that show you, in fact, that you are now truly aligned with what you were meant to do. And if you could just share that, because it gave me chills to read about how you connected those dots and just shows how really there's always an intelligence that's guiding us if we can tune in to it.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I think you are referring to my childhood. Mm-hmm. Growing up in my home, let me tell you, I think about it now. I look at my mother, who's 9 this year, and I'm just so grateful to be her help, because we grew up in a very holistic household. You know, my mom was 100%, you know, good health is the first wealth, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And with 6 children to care for, I mean, we went to the doctor, of course, for our checkups and all, but our pharmacy was right there in the kitchen, you know, like love anything, that. You know, herbs, my mother knows the herbs inside and out. You know, when my sister gave birth to her first child and the child was colicky, my mom reached for anise seeds, boiled anise seeds. Wow. That was the end of the colic, you know. And this wasn't woo-woo stuff. I mean, right. She knows the herbs inside and out, nutrition. She is very, very nutrition-based. She herself managed her own hypertension, completely changed her diet. And this was way back, you know, way back before all this stuff.
Yep.
We grew up in a very integrative, you know, household, and holistic household. Nutrition was the focus, very much the focus. And my grandparents also, every summer we went to my grandparents' farm deep in rural Georgia.
Love it.
And rode on this bus called Trailways. I don't know if anyone even knows it, but it was called Trailways.
It's
a really long, long ride from New York all the way to Georgia.
Oh my goodness.
Fantastical journey. I'll never forget it, riding in the middle of the night and whatnot. But anyhow, they had 5 acres in their farm, and my grandfather built the house that he and his and my grandmother lived in, as well as the house that her mother lived in.
Wow.
And there wasn't anything that he couldn't fix, that he couldn't grow on that farm. We're talking about people who hand washed their own clothes, hung them on the line. I mean, lived very, very sustainable lifestyle.
Yeah, before sustainable living was sustainable. Everything was organic.
He taught me how to fish. You know, he put my first fishing rod in my hand. Tremendous respect for, you know, our relationship to the planet, to the earth, living in harmony with the planet was the focus. And I learned that as a very, very young child. Amazing. Standing next to him, it was just, and seeing the world through his eyes, and we could sit there in silence for hours. You know, that was meditation, just sitting there and with our fishing rods, you know, and fishing. Beautiful. So all of that, I knew that a different way was possible, you know, that this is how you live this thing called healthcare. And I wanted to introduce that to my patients. I wanted to be able to talk about, have you thought about just a little chamomile at night to go to sleep? Have you thought about just little kava? Like, let's just try this and see if it works. And I just got further and further into that world. Then yoga came into the picture. You know, I get my yoga teacher certification. Have you thought about this? And all it takes is one patient to say, this is good. You should do more of this, you know, and that just got woven further and further into my work.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. You know, it's what's coming up for me around this reflection on your life and your path to do this work with Seva Health now is that you really broke the paradigm of, I guess it's that work hard and, you know, run through walls and, you know, then you're really serving, you know, because how else do I know I'm doing what I should be doing if I'm not like burning myself out or exhausted? Yes. I gave 157% today, you know, all of that, right?
Yes.
That's a whole paradigm shift because, and not for anything, it's kind of how, you know, it's a product of society and much of our conditioning, the ego, you know, needs that. Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot of courage, a lot of insight and courage to break free from that paradigm.
It does.
You know, and then, but what's beautiful is you came out on the other side and you're giving at such a deep level now, and you're serving at such a deep level that was not possible when you were doing the old paradigm.
Exactly. Thank you so much for honoring me that way. And first of all, come face to face with that ego and make a decision about, you know, what you're going to, who you're going to serve, right? Are you going to serve that ego or are you going to serve your higher self?
Exactly.
And I've seen enough people, and there are more than enough examples even today, where you can see that there's some really deep ego going on here.
Yes.
There's some really strong ego stuff going on.
Yes.
And the degree to which that is just not sustainable. Like you can see it, like you can say it, you can see like, wow, let me see how long this person's going to be able to drive this thing. It's just not even sustainable. It's not helpful to self or to others. And for me, I always saw this for the long haul, you know, like how can I do this for the rest of my life?
Wow.
In a way that continues to serve, but serves me, self-fulfilling, all of that kind of thing. And I knew that that wasn't going to, you know, people retire 55, 60, because they have out of sheer, because they have to.
Exhaustion.
Know,
yeah.
Exhaustion. Whereas me, I truly feel like I can do this for the rest of my life in one iteration or another. I can teach, I can offer meditation, I can drill down into the nutrition. You know, there really is just, I need a second lifetime. That's what I really need.
I need a second lifetime
because that's how sustainable it is. And then there are just the practicalities of it too, that, you know, we always think we need more than we actually do. Mm. And when you get to a certain income level, you've got all the things that you really need. Right.
Yeah.
So why are you hustling so much? Why are you doing all of that? You know?
Right.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
So I'm at a point now where I really do drill down into having more experiences than I do things.
Stuff. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, that's, again, it's the wisdom that comes with what really matters. And
what really matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that sustainable thing, because I think, you know, learning about Seva Health, that's something that's very distinctive in your healing approach of your team there, is you want to set people up for the long haul.
Yes.
You know, and you really emphasize step-by-step changes, manageable, lasting, you know, lifestyle shifts, right?
Yes. Yes.
And very different from a pill for every ill and, you know, quick fix and that whole mentality.
Yes. But I will say this, as you know, as practical as it is, it really is, has been sort of like that Sisyphus pushing it up the hill, because it's not convenient for people. The convenient approach is just give me this pill. Tell me what to do. So I do have a fair amount of people who come to my practice who are drawn to all of this.
Yes.
But then when they see that, gosh, I'm going to have to make some changes, they do just want the pill.
Yeah.
And I do know that a little bit of chemical goes a long way, especially in mental health. When people are depressed, they are really depressed. And what they really want is a pathway away from the pain that they are experiencing.
Yes.
So I'm not anti-pill, but I'm not, or anti-prescription, but I'm not pro-medication only. Like, just take this and I'll see you in 3 weeks. Like, my patients know they've got to be doing some work.
They've got
to be doing the work, because I'm not going to make that promise to you that, hey, this is going to cure everything. You've got to understand, like you asked me, what is your relationship to your work?
Mm.
You're so stressed out on this job. What is it that's got you so stressed out? And I really want you to do some work around that while we manage these symptoms of this racing heart, this shortness of breath that you're having, this pain that you're having in your body that is manifested as a result of this overactive nervous system stuff that's going
100%.
On. Yeah.
You bring a level of consciousness. You elevate the conversation. Again, this is bringing that human you know, individual, you know, factor into the equation. And yeah, and then that's the beauty. Again, you said earlier, we're living in a fantastic time. Mm-hmm. We have medical technology, life-saving advances. Yes. And so we're grateful for all of that. Mm-hmm. But what you have modeled, you know, is that there is a pathway where you can provide and serve and help people in their journey in a much more meaningful, mm-hmm. sustainable way.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's not one or the other. And that's
one or the other.
We need to get off of that. That's part of the problem, I think.
Yes. 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 And to your question earlier about, you know, marrying this conventional medicine with integrative health, one of the things I think is really important, and some of the missteps that I've seen in people who've tried to do this, is they do take that either or. Yes. People can be very strongly against conventional medicine. Oh, it makes people sick. Oh, the system such and such. And people are very critical of conventional medicine. And for right reason, I do understand some of the there is validity in what some people have said, sure. and what many people have said about conventional medicine. But when you are knocking on death's door by way of a cancer diagnosis, mm-hmm. and I'm going to say cancer because, you know, cancer is cancer.
Yeah.
Conventional medicine comes in handy.
Yeah.
For a good Absolutely. MRI, for a good Absolutely. CAT scan, for a good ultrasound, for a good surgery.
That's right. That's right.
So I will never be a person who's not conventional medicine, yeah. because I'll say to you, that we're talking about life-saving. And when you travel enough and you go around the world and you see places where a 3D mammography is like going to the moon,
right?
You know, you'd have some appreciation. The ability to have a 3D mammography on every other corner. Yeah. And I've traveled enough to know that we are very, very fortunate in the Western world, as we call it, to have access to the things that we have. But that does not need to exist separate and apart from all of the other complementary, offerings that there yeah. are in terms of yoga and traditional Chinese medicine, herbs, nutrition, all of that.
Absolutely. Thank you. I couldn't agree more. So So now more than ever, you've got healthcare professionals who are really struggling to find balance, very, you know, just like where you were all these years ago. What are some key strategies, you know, that you share with your patients, you share with people who are in that predicament? They don't know, you know, it's kind of like the hamster wheel. They don't know how to stop it, because everything will fall apart is what our, you know, fear-based thinking will tell us, right?
Sure.
So what are some steps that you can help with people sort of break that down like you did for yourself?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So I started with just let me back up. When my children were little, I was very overwhelmed. You know, I always wanted to be a parent and dreamed one day of being a parent, but dreaming of it and being it are two different experiences. And I realized very quickly that, you know, having time for myself, not just a vacation, but real contemplative time to just really just like dig down into myself and my own experience was really mm-hmm. important. I was very fortunate that I had a friend who said to me, you should try going on a retreat, a silent retreat.
Okay.
And at the time I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to do this with two little children and whatnot? And she said, no, I'm not talking about 7 days off to Bali or whatever. I'm talking about just a mini retreat, just to tap down into yourself. Mm. She was a reporter for the Washington Post and very good friend of mine. And so she said, I'm going to give you the name of a place. It's in Virginia. You can get there in 90 minutes from where you are in Maryland. Try it out. Mm. So I talked to my husband about it. He said, sure, just let's map it out, make sure it's someplace safe, what have you. That retreat opened me up, and it was just a weekend. It was a silent retreat in the mountains, you know, way before we had GPS. So I had to follow the instructions to the letter, turn left when you see the cows, turn right when you see the
oh my goodness,
orange groves and all this. Seriously, this is how tucked away. It was at a monastery
okay.
by monks. Mm-hmm. And it was my first monastic retreat of many. It was a weekend of nothing but silence, literally no cell phones, no telephones, no TV, any of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That degree of silence and solitude opened up a world of just, I don't have the words for what it opened up in me, but I will say this. I knew that I needed to bring that into my everyday life in some way.
Okay.
You know, whether it be by journal practice, whether it be by sitting meditation, what have you.
Yes.
I started doing that regularly. And this was, as I said, this was just a mini retreat. Everyone, there were about 15, 20 people there. We were silent the whole weekend. We communicated by hand signals and things like this. We ate our meals together. Mm-hmm. And then we went off and just sat by ourselves, you know, and you know, not just sitting meditation, but, you know, journaling or writing or walking, you know, and whatnot. And I devised in my mind a way to bring retreat, the benefits of retreat, the activities of retreat into my everyday life. Yeah. I started looking and looking for books and studying retreat, the science of retreat, bringing more ritual into my life.
You know,
making the ordinary sacred again. All of those kinds of things. You can do that in 20 minutes a day. You don't have to go off to Bali to do that, right? Yes. If you took 20 minutes a day just to be with yourself, even if it's just closing your office door, putting your phone on silent, turning those apps off. I read an interesting article just about 3 weeks ago about Mark Zuckerberg. Let me tell you this. Mark Zuckerberg was interviewed by Business Insider, I believe, and I can share this article.
Yeah.
He stated that he's taken up, I want to say, mixed martial arts. He was a runner. And he stopped running as much to take up mixed martial arts because, get this, running made him think too much.
Okay.
Running made
him
in his head.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be in his head.
Right.
That's the issue, is that when we are silent, when we slow down, it's literally too much for people.
Yeah.
It's too much. Yeah. And what we're trying to escape is what, you know, just what we're all trying to escape is our own thoughts.
That's right.
Flurry of thoughts. Mm-hmm. But as Pema Chodron writes, the wisdom of no escape. There is no escape because wherever you go, there you are.
There you are.
So you have to have the willingness to say that I can be comfortable by myself. I can be comfortable with myself. That is the first tool that I give a lot of my patients and people who ask me this question over and over is I want you to start with just taking 10 minutes a day to drop down into yourself. To get to know yourself again, to hear yourself, to feel yourself, to feel just the willingness to touch and be with yourself. Start with 5 minutes if you can't do 10. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do meditation. You don't have to do, just sit. That's all I want you to do and see what comes up.
Yeah.
And so what I've designed now is this whole course and retreat experience right from where you are.
Love it.
You don't have to go all off because the first thing will be, oh, I can't take off. Oh, I don't have $5,000 or I don't have $10,000.
I don't have enough time.
Exactly. You do have 5 minutes and I know you have 5 minutes and you know that you have 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So let's start building retreat, the science of retreat into your everyday life, the art of retreat, because there's an art to it. And there is some science behind it. So that's the long way around to your question. That is where I start with people. The simplest thing that you can do, that we all can do, is sit.
It's powerful. I couldn't agree more, right? And see what arises.
Yeah. See what arises. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. One of my friends calls it the still point. Are you willing to just sit with that still point?
Yeah. Yeah. It goes against everything that we habitually do or are wired to habitually, you know, engage in. Thank you.
But the brain is a marvelous organ. It can be rewired. It can be.
It's late breaking news. It should be on every headline, you know, this fact that we can change, that we can rewire our brains for our greater health and happiness. And we have everything within us to do so.
We do. You know, that's the thing. There's no special equipment. You don't need any certification. You don't need a prescription. You don't need a doctor's appointment.
That's the brilliant thing. Again, you know, thank you. I'd love to ask Angel, you know, what is your definition of health?
Ooh, my definition of health. Health is more than the absence of disease. Health is the sense of balance, joy, equanimity, peace, purpose, and fulfillment that we feel in our lives.
Yes.
Health is the sense of balance, peace, purpose, joy, and fulfillment we feel in our lives. It is so much more than the absence of disease. I truly believe that people can have dis-ease and still have a sense of health, still be healthy.
That is beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That resonates a lot.
Welcome.
And so, you know, tell us about a little bit about Save a Health and like what you want to highlight, like who Save a Health for, and tell us about the work you're doing. Do you see people virtually out of state? How does that work?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we provide adult and geriatric integrative medicine and lifestyle medicine here in Pikesville, Maryland, our clinical office. So we manage acute and chronic disease here in, you know, on site or by way of telehealth. But I do see people virtually for coaching and consultative services in lifestyle medicine. So I have an active coaching roster for individuals all over the world, particularly my favorite group of people, Gen Xers, because I am a Gen Xer, the sandwich generation that is so busy caring for everyone else and not caring for themselves. Those who want to begin integrating lifestyle medicine into the existing primary care that they're already receiving with a physician or nurse practitioner somewhere else. And those who really want to get a jump start, a solid jumpstart on aging well, who want to age with vitality and grace and strength and clarity of purpose. And as I say, who really want to start designing the lives they know that they deserve, because you can't do anything. You can't, you know, retire in that beautiful place you want to retire in. You can't start that business in your second stage of life if you don't have your health. So again, weaving these important science-based, and I have to emphasize that, science-based lifestyle medicine strategies into your everyday life.
Thank you, Angel. That's amazing. That's amazing. And so where can listeners learn about you? And please share. I know you have a podcast and you have lots of things going on. So please share so I can include all that too.
Thank you so much. Yes. Tune into our newly updated website, www.sevahealthgroup.com, as well as tune into my podcast, Healthy House Calls with Angel. And launching in January 2023 is the retreat, a 5-week journey to renew, refresh, and reinvent your life. That is the 5-week course that I'll be teaching live. I'm so excited about that. And building on all of these principles that we talked about and so much more. There's a module on nutrition. There's a module on ritual and making the ordinary sacred again. There's a module on just overcoming negative self-talk and, you know, making the mindset shift, as you mentioned. So all of that good stuff is in this 5-week journey that we'll take together. And that launches in January. I'm so, so, so excited about that.
So complete. Thank you, Angel. This has been amazing. It's been a real gift to get to know you and have you share all your learned experience, wisdom, and expertise with the world. So thank you.
Thank you so very much for the invitation.
My pleasure.